La Trobe University has appointed Australia's first pro vice-chancellor for artificial intelligence, a move the university says will help coordinate its growing AI research and guide how AI is used in teaching and learning. The Wire's Thomas Kuzis asked vice-chancellor of La Trobe University, Professor Theo Farrell, what is the current educational gap that this appointment focuses on?
So we're very excited to announce Phil Loffenberg from Macquarie University, your uni, has decided to join us as the new pro vice-chancellor AI. And this is the first, for your listeners, pro vice-chancellor is a very senior, it's an executive role in universities. And you tend to have pro vice-chancellors doing things like, research development or postgraduate research, or pro vice-chancellor doing learning and teaching. This is the first pro vice-chancellor AI in Australia. And it really indicates the scale of our ambition and what we're doing at La Trobe. So we've been on this journey since I arrived as vice-chancellor just over 2 years ago. We've determined that, when we look at the landscape and what AI is doing, we have to transform ourselves to support our students and support our communities. And so we're on this path as we implement our responsible AI adoption strategy. So Phil is now joining us, bringing immense experience and success from Macquarie. And he will take over responsibility for leading further development of our strategy and its implementation, working, of course, with colleagues right across the university.
And so how will this new role sort of help coordinate or expand the AI work that's already happening across different faculties and even research centres?
Yeah, so look, the wonderful thing about being in a university and, of course, the privilege of leading a university is universities are really exciting learning ecosystems. So you've got researchers in different centers and different schools and faculties doing fantastic research. You've got learning, teaching academics who are doing, and all academics indeed, doing fantastic innovation, how they deliver their courses and they design their courses. And importantly, of course, we have many thousands, like at La Trobe, we have, well over 30,000 students learning with us in a whole variety of courses. So universities are big, complex communities. I think all universities in Australia, and there are 39 public universities and a number of private universities, are deeply committed to their public mission. And what you'll find now when you look at Australia is every university is doing something in AI, which is what you expect. And across the universities in Australia, a number have real strengths on the research side in AI. A number of universities have taken forward some really important innovations in curricula and course delivery, and of course in terms of how we provide personalized support at scale to students. So, I mean, many universities are doing great things. What we at La Trobe have decided to do is we've elevated AI to be our number one strategic priority in terms of thinking about how we integrate AI right across the university. Because when we look at the external environment, what we see is a seismic shift occurring in our economy and our society, that's in Australia and globally, as AI is rapidly having effect. And the challenge for universities, of course, is that sometimes we don't move fast enough to catch up with what's happening externally. But with this, we have to move as fast as we can to support our students and our communities. And so what this new role, this Pro Vice Chancellor AI, is doing is, when, as Phil will join us next month, and what he will be doing is working with senior colleagues and thinking, okay, we've had 2 years of experimentation in AI. We have had some great partnerships that perhaps we can talk about that have really enabled us to train hundreds of staff in AI. We have a very good understanding of how we can leverage AI now to provide better services for our students and indeed in our research. How do we pull it all together so that we can achieve what is a sort of transformative change in the university? So it's really a sense of we're 2 years now into our responsible AI adoption program. Now we want to achieve a step change. And the step change has been made possible by our partners, which are enabling us to very significantly increase our capabilities.
I'm curious to know which subjects in La Trobe and which faculties are you making AI much more of a priority? Or is it pretty much just all the subjects and faculties?
Yeah, so look, right now we have many colleagues and many courses experimenting with AI and indeed already integrating it. And when you look globally, what's happening, if you look at surveys, global surveys, the Digital Education Council released a survey in 2025 looking at a number of countries where they surveyed thousands of academics. And what they found is that roughly about 60, well over 60% of academics are using Gen AI. And like of that, about 4 out of 5 are using it in a moderate way. Only about 1 in 5 are using it very extensively. But we're already seeing large-scale academic use of AI. But only a handful of universities have decided that they're going to integrate globally, integrate it across the entire curricula, and have a very structured approach. And that's what we decided to do at La Trobe. So we formed a partnership with a collaboration with OpenAI in December. And under that collaboration, this year, we're going to provide access to ChatEDU, which is one of the latest versions of OpenAI's Gen AI's tool, its core tool. So it's a very powerful reasoning model. We're going to provide free access to 5,000 staff and students in the university this year. That's going to enable us to scale up our training program as we train out staff right across the university, and of course, a large number of students. And in 2027, we will provide free access to everyone in our community. So that's 40,000 licenses providing free access. So it's basically universal access. Anyone who's a staff or student at La Trobe will have free access to OpenAI's suite of reasoning tools, so ChatEDU suite of tools, as well as Codex, which is a coding tool. And we'll also be using AgentKit, which is an OpenAI tool to enable us to do some agentic deployment across the university. And this builds on our existing partnership with Microsoft, where we've already provided access to 750 staff to Copilot, which is a really powerful Microsoft Gen AI suite, and Copilot Studio. So the way we think about this is we're a university deeply committed to equity. And as such, we want to ensure that everyone has a universal access to the resources that we can make available. And that's our commitment. It's only through the partnership with Microsoft and the collaboration with OpenAI that we've been able to do this. But it's the largest rollout of a large language model tools kit in an Australian university.
What does La Trobe hope to achieve in AI over the next few years that requires leadership at this level? What are your sort of hopes and expectations with it?
It's really interesting because our North Star, where we start from, is what do our students need? How can we support our students to be successful?
Yes.
We're very proud of the employability outcomes we provide for our students. 40% of our students are the first in their family to go to university. Many make a real commitment to come to university, and they do so because for all sorts of reasons, but importantly, because they want to have good career outcomes. And our students, well, what are our students telling us about AI? And what is the usage pattern of AI among students? And there's pretty good survey data now that shows that basically almost every single student, particularly the younger demographic, so of the school leaver, so the 18 to 24 school leaver, the kind of the early mature cohort of students, at least 95% of students are routinely using Gen AI now. And so there's general use of these tools by students. And what they're telling us is they want more guidance. They want to know how can we use it in a way that's appropriate. And they
Yes.
worry that they might not be using it in a way that's appropriate. And they're asking for universities to provide them with more guidance. They're also asking for more support because they want to use it in a way that's appropriate for the career that they intend. And they can look outside, like everyone can, open any newspaper. And it's constant articles now about how Gen AI is being used in the economy, and how it's going to transform the economy and indeed the future skills employers are looking for. So students are worrying that they're going to graduate in a few years' time. Like if a student joins us today, they will graduate, she or he will graduate in 3 years. And will the skills they have be appropriate for the workplace they're going to find in 3 years' time? Because they can see how fast AI is transforming the business space or whatever sector they go into. It could be healthcare or whatever. So they're asking universities to help them both use AI in an appropriate way to support their learning, to give them clear guidance so they know when they're doing so in a way that doesn't trip over some kind of compliance concern. But importantly, that sets them up for success when they graduate. So that is what's driving us. So when I think about like two of the schools and what we're doing in two of the schools already, in response to what we're seeing happening externally. One is our business school. And we look what's happening in business is AI is rapidly being adopted by businesses around the world. So the one of the latest large-scale global surveys by Deloitte in January, it showed that AI is already extensively used by businesses globally. That survey was over looking at over 20 countries. It surveyed thousands of executives. It showed that about in the firm surveyed, 60% of those firms now provide access to AI tools, paid access to AI tools for their employees. Now, what that tells you is those companies expect employees to be able to use AI tools. They're not providing it for the good of their hearts. They're saying, because there's a business outcome here we want to drive. So if you're an employee in those companies, you need to be able to use AI. And 75% of those companies surveyed said that they intend in the next 2 years to roll out agentic AI across their businesses. So when we look at our School of Business, our conclusion is all of our business students must be able to use AI fluently, and all of them must have basic skills, at least in vibe coding, which is agentic AI. So we are now integrating vibe coding across our curriculum business. We're the first university in Australia that will do that. And we're also the first university that's currently designing, which we will deliver next year, the first AI MBA in Australia. Because it's obvious that's where the business sector is going. On the other side, when I look at, say, our School of Engineering and Computer Science, so all of those, the computer science students, they all obviously will, they all are very proficient in Gen AI. But look at what's happening in the kind of jobs that they would go into. One of the key jobs is coding. And what we're seeing there, of course, is one of the job areas that will be most impacted by AI is coding, because it's expected that in the future, companies can use agentic AI to do the coding. They don't need people. So we're going to train all of our computer science graduates in entrepreneurship skills, because there will be huge opportunity for students graduating to do startups. And I mean, that's an emergent area where you can drive a lot of business through startups. So we're going to train all of our students to be entrepreneurs, so at least they have that skill set alongside coding and other computer science skills. So it's about a very intentional way of thinking about how do we best prepare our students for career success when they after they graduate.
Well, I just wanted to go back to about students. Like you were talking earlier about how we need to, universities need to sort of, listen to their students and what they need. Does this mean that now universities need to sort of just step back and say, you know what, AI might be able to sort of help our students develop their skills further, whether it's in something entrepreneurial, as you said, or even just supporting them with their daily quizzes or assessments?
Yeah, and absolutely. And so it's really interesting because and we're looking at developing various tools. We've got some tools developed already, but how we in-house develop other tools to support student learning. Because one of the obvious use cases, for instance, is students using Gen AI to help them prepare for exams or quizzes or whatever, which is a totally legitimate use, actually. So it aids their learning. It's a very good example of how you can use AI to reinforce your learning. And that's a really good usage. And we know already that around about 85% of students are using a generative AI to assist them in either preparing for assessment tasks. Now, importantly, quite a few of them use them in assessment tasks. And so another thing we need to do is think about assessment redesign, both in terms of, there's two reasons why you do that. One is you have to assure learning. That's a really standard thing all universities do is assure learning. So you can be sure that when students graduate, they actually have the skills and knowledge that you would expect them when an employer should expect as a graduate in this particular course or that course. But the other important reason why we need to do assessment redesign is because when they go into their workplace, they'll be expected to use AI. And so we should be integrating that in how we assess and thinking about that as a way, as part of reinforcing learning. So that's the work that we're now taking forward, thinking about intentionally redesigning our assessment so that we reinforce learning and support it. But rather than saying to students, oh, you just can't use AI in assessment, there will be some forms of assessment where, for various reasons, including external accrediting bodies, you may use exams or traditional forms. But as much as possible, what we actually want to do is rethink how we assess, because in essence, AI is going to drive a revolution in the university sector and in education as a whole. It's going to enable us to move from what is a core way. Education in its core hasn't changed for 200 years. In its core, it's about a curriculum that's delivered en masse to a cohort. And then within that, you support individual learning, but it's a cohort experience. When in fact, we know people are incredibly individualized in their needs, in how they learn. And so, ideally, what you want to move to eventually is a deeply personalized learning experience that enables people to develop the skills at the pace that's appropriate to them, that integrates their prior experience and enables them to graduate. And so, if I was to imagine the university in 10 years' time, I would imagine a much more personalized learning experience for students.
Some staff in non-AI disciplines may wonder what this means for their areas. How will the university ensure that a focus on AI doesn't sort of overshadow or deprioritize other fields of learning? And as well as that, I've been in lectures or in tutorials where you've had academics say mixed views about AI, whether it'll be a few media units. I've been like, some people have said that, oh, it's not very accurate when it comes with giving you tips on research. And then you have some in the practical fields who say that it's very good, and they would encourage students to use it. What do you say?
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Tom. And I think, like, going back to my point about universities being fabulous, vibrant learning ecosystems, of course, there are many views in universities. And there are many academics who, you have to respect the fact that they are learning professionals and deep experts in their areas, in their disciplines. And so, university works best when it listens to all of the voices of its academic community and works and brings the entire community on a journey if that journey involves major change. In our case, we've spent 2 years talking to our academic community about AI and why we need to embrace AI. And in particular, as a vice chancellor, I go to lots of town hall meetings with schools. We don't have faculties at La Trobe. We've got 10 schools. And I'm frequently meeting colleagues in these fora as well as university-wide fora. And for 2 years, I've been talking about AI. And I've been explaining what's happening externally and why it's important that we as a university have to respond to that. And the one thing that all staff at La Trobe share is a passion about both supporting our students, but also having impact. So our brand is The Impact is Real, but it's really felt through our university. When we do research, we want to have real world impact. And perhaps, we can talk a bit in a moment about how AI is enabling that. So that has created a climate and a culture at La Trobe where people are really AI curious and a lot, and like many hundreds of staff already proficient users of AI. And so it provides a very rich culture at La Trobe, whereas some of the universities, I think there's a bit more resistance because I think there hasn't been that conversation with staff as we've done over 2 years to explain why it's necessary as a university. We respond to what's happening externally. And so I can imagine other universities where we know there's a bit more pushback from staff. I think La Trobe, broadly, most staff are AI curious or AI proficient. Of course, there will always be some staff that remain to be persuaded. And there was an article today in The Guardian, for instance, which was providing the perspective of academics who feel like they wish AI was never invented. And I do understand that. I mean, I absolutely understand that sentiment. But when you think about almost any discipline, almost any knowledge area that we work in, AI offers the opportunity for us to do things that we simply couldn't have done previously. So it can unlock enormous creativity. But of course, we have to recognize this potential for harm if we don't have appropriate ethical guardrails. So every university now should have, and I think I would expect everyone does have, like ourselves, will have ethical guardrails around use of AI, and of course, appropriate governance structure so that we can identify risks and mitigate risks, understand them and ensure, and hence our AI strategy is a responsible AI adoption strategy. We take the responsible piece really seriously. But at the same time, we can't go backwards in time. The external environment is going forwards in terms of the AI revolution. And so if we're serious about supporting our staff and our students and our communities, we just have to transform with that.
And so, what practical changes should students and staff expect to see as this AI strategy rolls out across the university?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the main practical difference will be particularly with Phil joining us as the Pro Vice Chancellor AI. So that's really part of the purpose of the office we're now creating around him is for us to, we're scaling up. This year is a very significant scale up of support for staff and support for students. So we are scaling up our program of training that we provide, including hands-on support. We're going to significantly increase and improve the quality of the learning resources we provide to all staff and students. We're taking forward a program of work of thinking about, in a medium-term redesign of our curricula. So embedding AI also much more deliberatively across our entire curricula, across all 10 schools. And so this is the year of scaling up. And the opportunity has really been made possible because we've had that very strong partnership with Microsoft that's given us strong foundations for experimentation, for training hundreds of staff, for experimenting and deploying agentic AI. And now the OpenAI collaboration is enabling us to take that to the next level. That's going to be very important. The other thing I just want to touch on, by the way, because I think it's really important before we go, is talking about research. And I think, like right now, when you look at the news, there's a real concern in the news around how AI is being used in warfare. And of course, we're seeing, a very kind of public dispute between Anthropic, one of the big AI companies, and the Pentagon in the United States over the use of Anthropic's AI tools by the US military. And it's a good example of how, as societies, we need to be intentional about the use of AI, and as societies, reach a view as to when, where, and how we think it's appropriate for AI to be used. But on the other side, look at the health sector and medical innovation of biosciences and medical innovation. AI is fueling a revolution in biosciences and in medical innovations. And that's something that we at La Trobe are at the forefront at. So as a university, we're the first university in Australia to acquire an NVIDIA supercomputer. It's formerly called the DGX H200 system, but it's an NVIDIA supercomputer. So we're the first, we commissioned the computer, we turned it on mid last year, and that's it powering our Center for AI and Medical Innovation. And that will be driving forward drug discovery, particularly to develop personalized therapeutics for cancer, which is the next frontier in terms of cancer treatments. But generally, when you think about what's currently happening in terms of how AI is being used clinically, it's interesting how fast it's been used. And now when you go to your general practitioner, invariably they will say, "Do you mind if I use AI?" And I say no, and they turn it on and AI produces the notes, which means the doctor concentrates on you. They don't have to concentrate on writing their notes. That's a small thing. But other areas are things like scanning, much more accurate use of scans. So for scanning breast cancer, for scanning of skin cancer, AI tools can be used to produce much more accurate scanning with obviously better health outcomes. So I mean, there's quite a few areas when you think about it. Also, for instance, things like on, last year we had an absolute breakthrough where AI was used to design a new antibiotic to deal with a bacteria that previously all antibiotics couldn't deal with. And one of the concerns in the medical community has been how our current suite of antibiotics are not going to deal with the next generation of bacteria that are coming along. Well, now AI is making this possible. So the breakthroughs in medical science that are going to be made possible by AI, and that's something that our Australian Centre for AI and Medical Innovation is driving forward, and the health benefits will be enormous. And so that's another area where universities, I think, have a lot to offer.
And so, are you confident that with La Trobe leading the way with AI, do you think other universities will also follow that real world impact, as you mentioned before? Are you confident by that?
Yeah, I am actually, because in fairness, most universities are focused on how they can translate their research into impact, either commercial impact or societal impact or both. So we're not alone in that. I think all universities are seeking to have real world impact. And just to be clear, many universities are doing great things in AI. So, I mean, I think there's a lot Australia can be proud of in terms of its university sector. It's just that we at La Trobe have elevated this to be our focus as a university. And that gives us a whole of university approach. And it means that we will move faster than other universities in how we integrate AI right across our curricula and better support our students. But I think, it's going to happen right across Australia. Many universities will go this way. So I would expect, if you looked at the sector in 5 years' time, I think the student experience will be quite transformed. Every university will have embedded AI in curricula and in supporting students. It's just we'll be ahead of the rest because we're starting now and we're being very intentional and strategic in how we're doing it.
Oh, I feel foul. Thanks so much for your time.
It's a pleasure, Tom. It's good to talk to you.
Vice Chancellor of La Trobe University, Professor Theo Farrell, speaking with The Wire's Thomas Kutis.